This week, someone was looking at those little Episcopal calendars that I have one in my office. There's one in the main office. There's one behind the Reredos for the Alder Guild. And they noticed that the color for today on the calendar is pink, whereas every day around it is the expected purple for Lent. And having not seen this before, they asked the very good question, is the pink for the time change? So we talked a bit about why today is special, why it is pink, and then we both lamented the time change that just coincidentally happens to fall on this day. But it has nothing to do with pink at all. So do you know what today is? It is. Today is Laetare Sunday. It is one of only 2 days in the church year where the liturgical color is pink. Or if you want to get technical, the liturgical color is rose, but it's pink. The other is Gaudete Sunday in Advent. And you may notice I am not wearing pink today, though, because we don't have any pink vestments here. So just as an aside, if you like to sew and you would like to create a pink stole or maybe even a chasuble too, talk to me. Call me. I am definitely a man that loves to wear pink to church. But even if we don't have the visual of the color change, historically, this was also a day to take a break from the rigorous practices that we're doing during Lent. An austere church, the giving up of things, and in general, the somber character of Lent. His life is never just about sorrow. Or, to quote the 17th century proverb repeated by Jack Nicholson in The Shining, all work and no play make Jack a dull boy. In the sea of ashes and fasting and repentance that is Lent, today we mark as a reminder that we cannot forget to find joy too. They're not mutually exclusive. And Laetare, the name for the day, literally means rejoice in Latin. And it gets its name from the introit that was traditionally used as the priest would come forward to the altar, and it's from the book of Isaiah. Rejoice, O Jerusalem, and gather round all you who love her. Rejoice in gladness after having been in sorrow, that you may nurse and be satisfied at her consoling breast. Rejoice in gladness after having been in sorrow. And it's precisely this character of today, the marking of gladness in sorrow, that I think makes Laetare Sunday one of the most honest days that we have in the church year. Now, our world has become all too familiar with sorrow. I actually tried to sit down and make a list of the sorrow that was all around us, but it quickly became overwhelming. It's a lot. I know it. You all know it. And Paul Wong, a psychologist and emeritus professor at Trent University in Ontario, puts it like this. It's okay to be lonely, he says. It's okay to feel bad. It's okay to feel anxious. Welcome to the human club. Grief and suffering are a part of life. But the wisdom that Laetare Sunday has for us, of all the church days, this one in particular feels perfect for right now. Because it may feel like we have lived in sorrow and heartache for so long, but that is never all that it has been. There have been moments of joy and glimpses of hope. And to be universally optimistic ignores the sadness in life. But unfailing pessimism, well, that fails to see the moments and the times of elation. Rejoice in gladness, having been in sorrow. Now, our reading from Numbers that we got today finds us with the Israelites wandering in the desert. They've been freed from their captivity, their slavery in Egypt, but they are thirsty and they are tired and they don't like their food. So they start murmuring. Unhappiness amongst themselves, and it spreads, and eventually they speak out against God and Moses. So God sends them poisonous snakes to knock them down a peg. The people get bitten, and many die. And apparently, this helps them to see the error of their ways, and they apologize. Moses prays to God and is instructed to build a snake on a pole to heal those who had been bitten. Talisman that shows the people that fear and mourning are not isolated from healing and hope. The people still get bitten, yes, but now they have the hope of being healed too. Or in other words, the bad does not just go away because something good shows up. Rejoice in gladness after having been in sorrow. I love the poet Padre Gotuma. And besides being just an amazing poet, he is a skilled theologian and conflict resolution mediator based in Northern Ireland. And I commend any and all of his work to you. He is brilliant. And I'm feeling a special connection right now to a poem he wrote called The Facts of Life. What I find so penetrating and so appropriate about this particular poem is its truth about life. It's neither cheerful nor gloomy, just honest. That's really resonating with me right now. And so here it is. The Facts of Life. I apologize that I will not be reading this in a beautiful Irish brogue, but this is what you get. That you were born and that you will die. That you will sometimes love enough and sometimes not. That you will lie if only to yourself. That you will get tired. That you will learn most from the situations you did not choose. That there will be some things that move you more than you can say. That you will live. That you must be loved. That you will avoid questions most urgently in need of your attention. That you began as the fusion of a sperm and an egg of two people who were once strangers and may still well be. That life isn't fair. That life is sometimes good. And sometimes even better than good. That life is often not so good. That life is real. And if you can survive it, well, survive it well, with love and art and meaning given where meaning's scarce. That you will learn to live with regret. That you will learn to live with respect. That the structures that constrict you may not be permanently constricting. That you will probably be okay. That you must accept change before you die, but you will die anyway. So you might as well live, and you might as well love. You might as well love. You might as well love. And I just love his conclusion that in all of this good and this bad in life, above all, you should love. And that's exactly where our scripture for today ends us as well. That God so loved the world that even with all of the destruction, the hatred, the empire, and just honestly, the downright crap that we humans have built, God sent Jesus Christ to save us from ourselves. Not necessarily to just wave a magic wand and suddenly make everything great, but instead, God in Jesus joins together with us in all of our muck and in all of our celebration. It's a refreshingly honest approach to love. Jesus is with us in our sorrow, but also pushes us and challenges us to rejoice in our gladness as well. And if we are truly to live into the message of Jesus, well, we might as well love and support each other that way too. So today we rejoice. Yesterday we were in lament and repentance, and tomorrow we will be as well, but today is our glimpse of Easter hope as we journey through this desolate season of Lent. So rejoice. Rejoice today, even though it is Lent. Rejoice in anything you can, the big and the small. Rejoice in gladness after having been in sorrow. For we just don't know what tomorrow is going to bring.